Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Wallet Wisdom, a podcast presented by Lake Michigan Credit Union. We are super excited for today's episode. As always, we are bringing you a ton of great content. We want to dive into financial wellness and how that really relates to you. So we're super excited. Thanks for tuning in. Savannah, you're our LMCU financial wellness manager and helping our teams and our honestly, our communities continue to grow in their education and understanding their finances. Because I think we all are in that situation where it can get a little confusing. There's a lot of questions that can come up. So we're super excited to have you on.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me, Brett.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, I think just for listeners, I think it's great to kind of start out just overall just understanding as to, like, you know, what is financial wellness, right? And why, I guess, is it essential for our overall well-being, as well as, like, how you kind of got into this line of work and why you're so passionate for it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when we're thinking about financial wellness, it's just one component of our overall well-being. So similar to physical wellness or emotional wellness, even occupational or social wellness, those are all dimensions of our overall well-being, and financial wellness is no exception. It's just part of that overall, you know, are we healthy? And thinking of financial wellness specifically, are you financially healthy? Do you feel good about your finances? And do your numbers actually back that up? And so when I think about the components of financial wellness, it goes beyond just, like, do you know how to manage your money? Because it's easy to just learn more about money and to kind of know what you should do, but are you actually taking steps to...
Yeah, putting it into action.
Exactly.
Right, no kidding. Yeah. There's a lot of information out there, and I'm sure for listeners, you may have already seen some of the stuff that's out there by us, but, you know, everyone's kind of talking about finances, but it's all about where we actually put action into place, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So our financial wellness encompasses, you know, how do we think about money? What's our money mindset? But then also, do we have the education around finances to be able to know what are those wise money moves that we can make?
Sure.
And then do we have the resources and tools to be able to act on those? I think we've all heard about the importance of having a budget, but do we have the tools to be able to monitor our finances and review that budget on a daily basis,
sure,
weekly basis, monthly basis? And then are we putting those all of those things that we know about what we should be doing with our finances into action?
For sure. And that itself, I know for myself, can be the confusing part too. I know the principles of what I should be doing, and I just know, though, I having that partnership or having a expert in my corner, if you will, right? I think those moments, that's where LMCU kind of comes around the whole situation and says, hey, we want to support you in these ways. So I guess, what are some common misconceptions people have about managing money?
Yeah, that's a great question. I feel like we could do an entire episode,
right,
just addressing some of those misconceptions. But one that I hear very frequently is just this mindset of, like, I'm not good with money. And I think that is a lie that we buy into, and almost kind of something that we can say to, like, excuse the fact that maybe we know what we should be doing, but we're not doing it. And so with that misconception, I'm not good with money, really being good with money is a skill that we can learn, right?
Sure.
So it's something that takes time and intentionality to learn more about money, about what those healthy money moves look like, and then being able to put them into action. So I'm a runner. I love to run.
Yeah.
And I started running about 8 years ago. When I started running, I had to start where I was at. You know, I laced up my running shoes, ran around the block, saw how long I was able to run for, and figured out that baseline of, like, okay, I know I can run for half a mile and then have to take a little bit of a walk. And every day I'm just going to add to that and continue to learn more about running and continue to just lace up my shoes and get out there.
Yeah.
And had I approached that with, like, a mindset of, like, okay, I should be running a marathon at this point,
sure,
and I'm not.
Right. You can't expect that, right?
Exactly.
That
and
takes
I think
time. Yeah.
The same thing with our money. You know, it takes time to build those healthy financial habits, and it takes time to even just learn about what those financial look like.
Well, and, you know, you're referencing running and the physical well-being of our health, right? And I think about the same goes for our financial wellness, health, if you will. You know, it's that holistic approach. You know, in healthcare, there's a big move lately of that holistic approach. How do we bring in all the right people for your care treatment, right? And the same is true for LMCU and also our financial wellness goals, that we want to really help everyone achieve dreams for a lifetime, right?
Exactly.
And so to do that, it's just very similar to health and wellness in that space. Getting those checkups, right? Checking mm-hmm. your budget, checking and see. But I love what you said about the running part. You don't have to have your finances in order to be able to do more with that.
Yeah.
That's where you just got to get a start. You know, that first $5, right, to save in a week, or the next $10, or the goals that you set, right? So I love that. But to your point, how do we help then our members and our community leverage some of the tools that we have as well to really help them with that journey?
Yeah. So I mentioned the education piece. And I think when I think about my own financial journey and financial wellness journey, I started out as a teacher. I taught sixth grade and loved being in education and, you know, helping those kids learn and grow. And when I came to LMCU, I had very little experience I had no knowledge of banking and very limited personal finance knowledge. And so I learned so much within the first few years of being at LMCU, and realized how much that education helped me feel more confident about knowing what I needed to do with my money, and then being able to make those choices to then follow through with those healthy money habits that I was learning, and learning about the different accounts that I could open up and different ways that I could be saving for my future. And so I think with all of that, I really leaned on resources that LMCU offered for that education piece. So listening to Wallet Wisdom and...
That's really good.
Exactly.
I'll tell you actually, too, anecdotally, as a host of the show, I have myself learned so much about finances through some of our guests and just the different things that, you know, we get to talk about. You know, by no means am I the expert every day of the show, but I've learned so much just in this resource. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you're right.
No, that's great. Yeah. And I think this is just one of the things that we do to provide our members our non-members with educational resources around our finances. And so another thing is we have a financial wellness center on lmcu.org, which is amazing. We've got lots of different courses that you can go through. There's different money management tools. We've got a variety of different calculators and quizzes that you can take to kind of figure out, like, where are you at with your finances and what are maybe some upcoming financial goals that you want to work towards.
For sure. Well, and I'll tell you too, for those listening, check out those resource pages, because I'll tell you, the tools are free and you can get in there and there's some really cool calculators, and not just like the calculators, right, that are just, oh, I can figure out my savings. Like, those are there too, right? But these are also like estimating calculators, so that you want to know, okay, if I save $50 every month, here's what 5 years looks like. Here's what 3 years would look like. And those to me are super helpful. And when I'm thinking about my finances and hopefully for listeners as well, and those that are tuning in and checking that out, that you'll find those same benefits as I did. Because those quizzes, they're super eye opening. I mean, you just really start to identify where your financial goals are and really where you maybe either you're on the right track, or you realize, oh, maybe I'm a little off and I need to get back on the track, right?
Yeah.
So very true. Those resources are really valuable.
Yeah, and I think something that's so important in wherever you're at with your financial journey, your financial wellness journey, being able to figure out exactly, you know, where am I at right now, and just being open and honest about that, and not letting it be a source of like shame or discouragement, even if you're not kind of where you want to be financially.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we have on the Financial Wellness Center is a tool that's called Financial Health Check. If your income were to be cut,
sure,
how long would you be able to live off of your emergency savings? Or how do you set financial goals? And do you work towards achieving them? So things that like that, that are just good kind of baseline behaviors with your money that you could,
sure,
should figure out kind of where you're at. And it can also provide a little bit of clarity of, okay, my score in, let's say, savings is the lowest. This might be an,
sure,
area where I really need to do quite a bit of learning and really look into different resources and get different perspectives too. I mean, we have so much information just right at our fingertips.
That's a great point. The data and everything that we have more at our fingertips. And I do think about how the having a score like that is great for just kind of your own goal setting. Like you were saying, you know,
exactly,
I might be not really doing well in the savings category, which might be true. But you know, it's one of those things of like, okay, not only is it an area where I may need to get more education or more knowledge, but even it's an area that I need to focus more on. Maybe I need to start considering what are my habits, right?
Yeah.
Right. And where can I maybe shift a little so I can save better? And then you can see that score kind of grow, and it's a great kind of milestone marker, right? You know?
Exactly. And something that you can go back to, and let's say 3 months down the road, once you have learned more about savings and once you've set some financial goals that you've started to work towards, you can reevaluate where you're at in that savings area, take that quiz again, and see that score improve. And I think that's just super powerful to be able to just really like have that baseline that we can go back to to see our growth with financial wellness. Just like anything else, it's so important to approach it with a growth mindset, to have,
for sure,
to not think like this is just something that either I'm born with or not. It's not a static it's not a static thing. And so just being able to approach it in a way that we're constantly learning and growing and knowing that there's time and room for improvement in whatever area you need to focus on. And really just setting those small achievable goals will build, and being able to hit those goals will build confidence over the long run. And again, like going back to the running, it's not, I wasn't expecting to jump from a half mile jog around my neighborhood to being able to run a marathon. Like there's so many steps.
It's a journey
in between,
right?
Exactly.
It's one of those situations of like, and again, I think the analogy of running is perfect because it is. It takes time and it takes endurance and it takes a little bit of that pushing through those moments. And, you know, honestly, if anyone's listening or tuning in that runs, let us know in the comment if this resonates at all. But I mean, truly, there's that component of those major hurdles to have to push through.
Yeah.
And it can be a bit of a mental game, and it is a lot of that discipline. And again, financial journeys are in the same space,
exactly,
right? You know, you may start small and it may be a bit of an exercise, and it may put you in a place where it's a little discomforting because, hey, I can't spend the same that I used to. I can't go and, you know, get my coffee every single day. It's maybe some adjustments, but over time you start to, you know, gain the endurance. And there's a point of financial endurance. You know, you start to become a little bit savvier. You get a little bit more confident with your money. And little by little, you start to develop that. But no way, shape, or form does it just happen overnight. It's not a light switch, right? You know?
Exactly. Yeah. It takes months. It takes years to learn more about managing and making wise money choices, and then to actually put those habits in place to make those a part of your kind of everyday everyday thing.
Absolutely. So I wanted to shift gears just a little bit as we kind of are talking about savings and our financial wellness. One big component of that, obviously, I love the test score and just being able to have for your personal sense. But again, just to clarify for listeners, it's not so much, that's not your credit score. That's just more of a test score for your own benchmarking. But along those lines, all encompassing with that in your financial wealth is your financial wellness is the credit score. And right now, average credit scores I know have been kind of around 715, 700. Yeah. And I think for myself included is how can people maybe improve that credit score without maybe feeling that overwhelm? Because I think we're all feeling a little pinched on, you know, groceries are a little up and this is a little more expensive. And so like trying to, you know, be smart about our money, how can we do that?
Right. And I think with a credit score, it's not necessarily an indicator of your financial wellness. You
Great
can
point.
Be very financially healthy and maybe your credit score has gotten some dings. But and vice versa, you so it's not a direct assessment or not a direct reflection
sure.
of where you're at on your financial journey, but it is incredibly helpful to have a high credit score, especially for when you're considering taking out a loan, whether that's an auto loan, whether it's a mortgage, and having that credit score be in that very good or even excellent range, which is anything above. So a 740 is typically seen as that very good range, and 800 or above is that excellent credit score. And if you're in those ranges, you're going to get the best possible rates, which
sure.
is going to save you money in the long run.
Yeah.
And so being prepared with that higher credit score is just really really important. But a couple things I think if I were looking at raising my own credit score, the first thing that I would do is go to annualcreditreport.com. And you can actually get a free credit report that you can look over and figure out if there's any errors. So oftentimes our credit reports do have errors. And so the first step would really just be figuring out, is this accurate? Is this really a reflection of all of the borrowing decisions that I've made? And are all of the things that I have done with my loans accurate? Is everything reporting correctly? So that's a big thing,
for
just
sure.
figuring out, is this accurate? And then if it is, on-time payment history is the biggest impact
sure.
of our credit scores. So making sure that even if you're not paying off maybe your full credit card balance, making sure that you're at least making that minimum payment
for sure.
on every loan that you have, whether it's a credit card, auto loan, mortgage, but those on-time payments are absolutely crucial for creating and maintaining a high
right.
credit score.
Well, and a lot of times too, that score is that credit worthiness or, mm-hmm. you know, based off of a lot of factors, right, as to the risk association to the person that's going to lend you that money, right?
Exactly.
And to your point, you know, if you're not on time, you know, if you and I just had the arrangement that, you know, if I had a bagel every Friday, but, you know, it's $5, but you haven't paid me, but are you still getting the bagel? Over time, I'd be like, I don't know if I want to continue to give you that bagel. You know, you're not going to give me the $5. So,
right.
you know, it comes to that point of on-time payments. It's a huge factor. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
In fact, I was going to just mention too, for those that are listening and tuning in, we be sure to check out some of our past episodes. We have some great content in there that dives even deeper into, you know, some of our savings strategies and some of our debt reduction strategies, as well as, you know, how to continue to improve your credit score. So really great resources to consider to have and check out those past episodes too. So, yeah. Now, so along with that, you know, I see, you know, what are some healthy money habits if we're talking about how we can kind of start to make a change, you know, so what are some of those healthy money habits that can lead to that long-term financial success?
Yeah. So one of the other things that kind of answers the previous question as well, is keeping credit utilization low. So if you have credit cards that have a maximum balance or
credit
limit, really, you don't want to get anywhere close to the top of that. So making sure that you're making keeping those balances as low as possible, ideally paying off in full every month, sure, that's going to not only help your credit score, but it's also going to just be a healthy financial habit. You know, the less you're paying in interest, the better, the more money that you can save for your goals. And so so that's a big piece of a healthy money habit, I think, just getting really honest about where you're at. So even if you're someone who kind of avoids finances, I know I was that way for a very long time.
Sure,
where,
sure. They're personal. You know, it can feel like you're, you know, it's a vulnerability, right? To want to open up a little bit and say, hey, maybe I'm not where I need to be. So it's tough.
So being able to look at, you know, what are you spending money on? And what are those things that you are spending on? Are they really the most important for you? And so I think like one misconception that we have is there's kind of these like good and bad purchases.
Sure.
And so I know oftentimes that like daily Starbucks gets brought up as an example of something that is not necessarily a healthy money habit. And I think the important thing there is just it's shifting your mindset to like, there's not necessarily these good and bad financial choices or these good and bad purchases. But if you're spending an extra, one of the calculators on our Financial Wellness Center goes over, you can plug in if you spend an extra $10 a day or $15 a day, what's that going to add up to over the course of a year? What if you invest that? And I think that's really powerful to take those like small amounts that you might be spending and figure out, okay, if I spend an extra $15 a day, then I can buy my coffee or my lunch, but it means that I'm not left at the end of the year with the over $5,000 that I could be if setting aside that money. And if that's what's bringing you joy and that's what you are really where you want to be spending your money, there's no shame in that. And but if you're looking at that amount that you could be, you know, setting aside, and you're like, okay, with that $5,000, I would love to take a vacation or two vacations, do a home project. Just being in moving from this like automatic, like, okay, well, it's just a $10 purchase, it's not really going to matter, to, okay, yes, this is $10, but I'm going to make a bunch of these choices, and what are they adding up to? And moving from that kind of automatic, those automatic spending choices to more intentional, kind of value aligned spending choices is just really, really powerful.
Well, I find it interesting because you're absolutely right. The conversation over the last like decade or so has shifted, and maybe it's more of the vocabulary of it, but you know, it went from, or excuse me, it's now in this like, is that a good purchase or a bad purchase? To really, when I was growing up, it was a lot more about, you know, is this a need or is this a want, right? And to your point, like getting honest with yourself about your finances is kind of crucial, because it does get to the heart of, oh, wait a minute, that's a want. It's not a need in this situation. And we actually talked about some of that on our last episode about needs and wants. And it's hard because it's easy to kind of say, no, I need my caffeine every day. But when you really start to be honest with yourself and you start to really evaluate and looking for that, it turns into that it's a want. It's not a need. And how do I then reevaluate and say, okay, but I don't want to get rid of this completely. Okay, ma'am, maybe it's twice a week I can splurge on it. But to your point, at the end of the day, if your budgeting is appropriated for that and you have the funds and you've budgeted accordingly and you have that the means to do that, well, then that's great. You can run the card or whatever you want to do because you've budgeted for it. But if you're still working to try and find that financial, like, you know, security, and you're not feeling it now, some of those sacrifices, it's tough. I'm in the same boat. Yeah. Honestly, for those that are tuning in, I'm in the same boat. I'm thinking about what streaming services do I need? Do I need all of them? Do I need to reduce some of them? How can I start creating some margin in my finances so that I can do more of the things that I want to do and have that future kind of financial freedom, if you will?
Exactly. And I actually love that you brought up that word margin. I think that's one thing that is incredibly important to work into our financial lives. Just because it eliminates so much stress when we're able to treat emergencies as inconveniences rather than crises.
Yeah, that's a great
and
way
so
to
having an emergency fund, whether that's a even if it's just $400, in a recent survey, 37% of Americans weren't able to cover a $400 expense out of pocket. And I think that is just something that if you're able to set any money aside into that emergency fund, it is just going to give you some peace of mind, even if it's not a lot, even if it's just that $400 or maybe it's $1,000, but just having some funds set aside so that it's not as you're not experiencing that same level of panic when your brakes need to be redone.
Right.
Or yeah.
I love, say that again, what you said just a second ago, because I think that was so powerful. And, you know, it turns those moments into, how did you say that again?
Yeah. So it turns crises to inconveniences.
Yeah. That way you can manage. I love that.
Yeah.
And because there's a lot of times where those unexpected purchases come up, and if you're not planned for it, you're not prepped for it, it turns into a crisis. And then you're trying to figure it out. Oh, man, I love that. Hopefully those that are listening too can kind of relate and say, man, I would love to have a state one day where I don't have to be in a crisis. I can be able to manage that. And it's an inconvenience, right? Yeah. It still isn't fun, but it doesn't have to be the, oh boy, what are we going to do now? You know, those are tough spaces to be in. But I want to reiterate too for our listeners, you know, that is what makes LMCU such a great institution to at least just explore. Whether you're a member or not, we want to help you. And that's why these resources are for free. Check them out on our website. But then on top of that, stop into a branch. We want to be able to partner with you, regardless if you have a membership here or not. We will sit down. We will talk with you. And again, it goes to our roots are founded in education. Yeah. That's how we started as a credit union. We were a teacher's credit union way, way, way back. And now to see, again, you were a teacher as well. So, and we have a lot of staff that have been in education, which is really pretty incredible because that is the heart behind what we do. And we want to help our communities in so many different ways. So, Savannah, I am so appreciative of everything. I think there's been some great information. And again, how can our listeners continue to gain that knowledge?
Yeah, so I think one next step would be to visit our Financial Wellness Center. You just go to lmcu.org and click the link at the top of the page that says Financial Wellness. You can explore a ton of different resources, take that financial health check, and just figure out kind of where you're at and where you might want to focus on setting a goal and working towards getting to a better place in that area of your financial life.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you again. We're going to have you on every so often just to kind of have a little check-in and you know, have listeners be able to again, hear of new tips and tricks and some of the fun things that we keep bringing because we do. We have a lot of great tools, and I think we got some more up our sleeve right now as well coming out soon. So stay tuned. But thanks again for tuning in, and be sure to follow us. We are subscribe, follow, and we will see you on the next one.